Howdy there, friends, and so glad you could join us again today on another episode of Expanded Perspectives. I'm Cam Hale. As always, my friend for life over here, across the table from me, Mr. Philly O'Filson. Kyle, my brother, how are you doing today, sir?
I am doing excellent, sir. I'm so glad to be here, broadcasting from Skeleton Studios in beautiful Weatherford, Texas. Yeah, man, I'm having a great day.
It is awesome. The weather's good. We've got our sweet tea in here. We've got everything good. I can tell by the cup Kyle come carrying. He went and had a little Mexican food today, which looks good, which I had last night. Look, brother, my niece, her birthday's this week, my oldest niece, and they had a big painting thing where you go down to like these, it used to be called, I think, Painting with a Twist is like one where they go drink wine and the girls paint on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had it at the local ale house here in town.
In that same room that we were sitting in, I bet?
No, they had it in the main room.
Oh, yeah?
The main room where me and you and Micah and all of us were in that side room. They were in the main room. So I sat down there. I went anyway. I wasn't painting. All the girls did the painting. I did all the beer drinking.
Did you drink some cream ale?
I drank a lot of beer yesterday.
Yeah. It's awesome.
But you know what? I woke up feeling like a champ. My daughter was driving us around. It was great. My daughter's, she's fixing to get her license. And I mean, everything was perfect. So we had a great time. Wonderful time. Hope everybody else had a wonderful weekend. We're going to get into some fun today. Kyle has told me something because we were talking about going fishing off air. I want to go back to Florida. And he went ahead and he shot this at me. He's like, well, you're going to like this. You might find this out on your yak. Go ahead and lay it on them. Go ahead and tell them.
Well, yeah, this comes from the Orlando Sentinel. And it's pretty funny because I've theorized about this possibly existing before. No, I'm not talking about skunk apes, but I'm talking about invasive species. Now, everybody jokes and everybody knows now that there's a massive amount of like Burmese pythons roaming around in the Florida Everglades.
Yes.
But researchers are now claiming that that may not be Florida's scariest invasive species. Recently, check this out, 3 Nile crocodiles were captured near Miami. And they say that it's very probable that more man-eating reptiles are out there.
That sounds
although
peachy.
No one can say for sure. Now, right? So, of course, the question is how do they get to Florida? They obviously didn't swim here from Africa. And a University of Florida herpetologist, Kenneth Crisco, said, we don't really know how they got into the wild, but we can theorize, and most likely it was by some jack wagon, got one illegally on the black market as a pet, and for whatever reason, they don't know if on purpose, or he just didn't want to care for it any longer, or just trying to be that guy, released them into the wild.
Awesome.
Now, they said that they've actually done DNA testing to make sure that they weren't wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like it didn't just look like a Nile crocodile. They did DNA testing. And they've captured 3 now. The first one they caught was in 2009. The second one they caught was in 2011. And this latest one they just caught. And they did DNA testing on them. And they are, in fact, Nile crocodiles.
Mm.
And they say, left to their own devices, Nile crocodiles get upwards of 16 feet long and upwards of 1,600 pounds.
Do they think that there's a breeding population of them out there now?
They
do. Since they're catching a few?
That's the problem.
Oh, great.
Now, the 3 that they did catch, they did later euthanize.
Mm-hmm.
But they do think that there's a small population breeding on its own. I mean, the habitat is exactly like where they come from. It's perfect for them. And the main problem is the American alligator. We have them here in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a single reported case of an American alligator actually ever killing anybody.
Really?
That's what they say. And they say that when American alligators do aggressively approach people, it's normally because they feel like you're walking in on their nest or you're, you know, coming after their little ones. You know, it's just a mm-hmm. motherly instinct to protect the young. But Nile crocodiles are completely different. Nile crocodiles are very aggressive. They say that even cattle ranchers are now worried because everybody's seen the National Geographic videos where these wildebeest or something come down to get a drink of water and what
them.
Happens?
Yeah.
Nile crocodiles are a completely different animal. They look similar, but they're much, much different. Much like the big salties down in Australia.
Oh, great.
These things are super aggressive. And so, like they're saying, they think that somebody probably bought these things, an unlicensed reptile dealer probably sold them to somebody. And for whatever reason, they've been released. And so just like the Burmese python that now lives in the Everglades, these snakehead, these fish, you know, which is from Asia, they're breeding out of control. Now they think that there could be Nile crocodiles. And they say that the Florida Fish and Game Service, I mean, this is a big problem.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's a big problem. There's no natural enemy of that over there. What's going to keep it in check besides us?
Well, you're right. That's the thing, too. And they're afraid that these Nile crocodiles will start killing off the natural American alligators.
Oh, I'm sure it will, yeah.
Because these are far more aggressive, far larger, far stronger than the American alligator. And this is a big problem. Now, they say if you see one, please report it to the fish and game. They say one way you can tell is an alligator's snout is usually rounded, with few exposed lower teeth, while Nile crocodiles usually have a bronze or a brownish yellow in color.
And a human arm sticking out of their mouth.
Right? So, if you're living in the Everglades, or not living, but just out there fishing, or
if you're in Florida, Kevy Kev, brother. Yeah. Keep your feet out of the water. Don't let that baby go nowhere near the water.
You might want to look. Yeah, be careful when you're out there because you don't want to tangle. That's the scariest thing. I mean, because it could be under the water. You're just out there playing frisbee golf, brother, and your disc gets a little too close to the water. It's pow, and those things is on you. The death roll.
Oh, no thanks.
Yeah, so no pretty thanks. Scary stuff.
I got you something not quite as scary as that, but I think you're going to find this interesting. Folks, this comes from Cryptozoology News.
Yes.
This happened in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Been there.
A man claims that he saw two birds, in quotations, the size of airplanes. Manuel Ponce is a 48-year-old HVAC tech from Virginia. Now, he told Cryptozoology News last week that he was on a cruise with his family and church members when he saw these flying creatures. Now, he says it happened right after 9/11, that he had just booked a cruise with Royal Caribbean in January of that year. Says we had 28 members of our congregation. Now, he claims that after a strong tropical storm, the captain managed to land in San Juan, Puerto Rico. He said, we arrived there in the morning. The day was off and on with rain and spurts of sunlight every hour or so, and we hired a guide for half a day to take us to some interesting places. And he says, as the guide took the group near a beach, Ponce explains they noticed a real dark rolling rain cloud coming quickly. He says, that's when I saw them. At the very top of the storm cloud, I saw two giant birds. I pointed up to everyone in the group, including now my ex-wife and the guide, but the birds went straight up. The man described these creatures as birds the size of airplanes. This is what he calls with 30-foot wingspans. So their necks were surrounded by white rings, and they had very straight beaks. He said their wings were straight, with feathers protruding at the ends of their wings, is what he says. Now, the alleged sighting reportedly lasted about 5 seconds, and Ponce said he was the only one to see these animals. Now, he added that he tried to snap photos, but that he hadn't had enough time to capture the image. Now, what he does says is that he told the story to his congregation, friends, and family, and most of them don't believe him. He says that only my two sons believe me, but I know what the hell I saw.
Sounds like he saw condors, if you ask me, the description.
It does, yeah.
With the white rings around their neck and the feathers that, you know, extend off the ends tips of the wings. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a condor to me. But when he says it's the size of an airplane, I mean, I can see a dove fly over and it's the size of an airplane, a really high up airplane.
Exactly. It's the misidentification thing.
Exactly. So, yeah. You know, that's often the case with a lot of these sightings is the guy's not lying. That's what he saw.
He believes.
But could he be wrong?
Yes.
On it really wasn't 30 feet. It was more like 6 feet.
Yeah. Oh, I think that happens a lot. Like we've discussed numerous times. I think that happens a lot. You know, it's one of those things that you see it and you're caught up in the moment. And then as you recall later, it gets bigger. And I think that that's a, you know, look, we love the first person accounts and eyewitness testimony, but everyone knows that they're really not credible. I mean, because so much can go on, people can get carried away. You really look, as much as we love them and what do these people see and all that stuff, you know, eyewitness accounts aren't credible.
No, they're the least credible.
Exactly. So,
unfortunately,
yeah. Now, they make the best stories, but they're the least credible as far as when it comes to really putting fact on paper, if you will, for that. But, like you've always said, he feels like he saw something. Something affected him. He feels like he saw two giant 30-foot wingspan birds. So it always makes you wonder, are they really a few of these sightings of true 30-foot wingspan giant birds? We've had people talk about it. People have pterosaur sightings, all this. Or is it, I don't think it can all be misidentification. I think there's a little bit there that might really lead to something.
I think you're 100% correct. Check out this. Okay. This comes from Two Crows Paranormal. Our friend David Weatherly over there has a pretty interesting blog. You should check that out whenever you get a chance. It's about a shadow man encounter that happened in Connecticut. Now, of course, shadow figure encounters go way back in history, from shadowy monk-like beings with hooded cloaks to the infamous Hat Man of more recent years. And for the most part, these encounters are very disturbing for the witnesses and include feelings of fear and sometimes outright terror. Now, this occasion, this happened to this person, is very interesting. They say that it was blacker than the darkness of my room. And it's quite disturbing. Now, this case from Meriden, Connecticut, and most shadow figure witnesses talk about glowing red eyes, but this one saw red light coming from the shadow's mouth.
Uh-oh.
It's a little interesting. Now, Jacqueline Glenn describes the encounter with the shadow figure that occurred in her home over a period of time. She says that the east bedroom on the first floor of the home was always a troubling spot and never gave her a restful night's sleep for whatever reason. Now, she lived in the home as a child, and her horrific encounters with a black figure started happening when she was only 5 years old. The shadow, form, would suddenly appear after she went to bed, and it would lurk in the doorway of her bedroom, just watching her. She said, "I see this man, or what looks like a man, standing there. It's just a shadow, with a blinking red thing coming out of his mouth." Glenn stated that the home also contains the spirit of a little girl who's been seen by witnesses as a blue figure, softly calling out, "Mommy, Mommy." Now, when she got older, Glenn decided to use a Ouija board to try to make contact with the spirits in the house. The talking board responded that the spirits in the home were named Abe and Vivi, but numerous sessions with the board game made Glenn uneasy, and she finally burned the Ouija board in her backyard. Now, historical research was done on the location, and they tracked the history of the home back more than 120 years, but there were no records of murder or strange deaths on the property. Now, obviously, a home with such a long history had many families living in it over the years, but no evidence ever came to light of an Abe or a Vivi. Now, activity in the house increased when the family decided to renovate the third floor attic. But activity in the home goes back at least to 1971, when Glenn says she started having her personal experiences. At one point, Glenn spoke to Meriden's local paper, the Record Journal, and reported that her daughter had started having experiences with the Shadow Man. Now, 10-year-old Gina awoke to find the shadow form standing at the foot of her bunk bed. She described what she saw. She said, "His head was black, and it was just the shape of a body. I climbed down, rubbed my eyes, and it went away." So, this case of the Shadow Man, we've talked about it numerous times on the show, and I can't tell you how many people have actually wrote us emails or called in and told us their encounters. I think we've even played a couple on the air for people to listen to. I have dozens more that I just didn't get around to. But I know a person, a close friend of mine, who had a shadow person encounter, and he told me this long before we ever did the podcast. I want to know what it is, along with everybody listening to this. I mean, I wonder why it always seems to be the shape of a man. They often are seen with a hat. I mean, what is that? There's never a story of a shadow woman, or at least I've never heard of one. What is this mass hallucination that everyone seems to be having? It's beyond belief to me that everybody can be making this up, and this has been going on for a long time. I wonder. You know, oftentimes there's a strange smell associated with the sighting. It often is times right when you go to bed. Lots of times people even talk about a heavy breathing next to them while they're sleeping. Some people even hear it but are afraid to even look. I know I could probably understand that.
Yeah, completely.
But it is bizarre to me. And the shadow, here's the thing. I like investigating. I like looking at it. But I'm also afraid that if I delve into it too much, that I might start having this experience.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm not looking into it at all.
No, so I kind of like reading and go, yeah, that's a pretty cool one. Let's check how the Cubs did today.
Exactly.
And move on.
Yeah, and move on.
If you have a neat experience of your own, please email the show at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com.
I think the thing that I find fascinating also about the people that have these experiences is it would be one thing if you could say it was people in a certain area or people of a certain age or people with a certain diet or people with a drug habit or a drinking habit or something, you know, but it covers all spectrums, all ages, all sexes, all races. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
9 or 90, blind, crippled, or crazy, you're going to have a shadow man sighting. You fit right in the group. I mean, the whole group is, are you a human being? Are you alive? Okay. Well, then that's pretty much what we know about people that have it.
You're right. That's what's so terrifying.
I like to believe, of course, this is one of those things when you know, you don't want to look into it. I like to believe that it's because the human being wants to, or the human mind is constantly trying to put patterns together and see things, that when you were kind of in and out of this consciousness or whatnot, that when you see a shadow, it actually gives you the idea of the outline of a man, and then your mind plays off that you've heard Shadow Man, and then it pieces it all together to try to make solid of something that's really not there. I like to believe that.
Me too.
Because it makes me sleep better.
When I read the story, I'm thinking she sees a shadow and a blinking red light in its mouth. She's seeing the smoke alarm.
Yeah.
As a child, and the shadow, it kind of looks
like,
you know.
Yeah, I'm not saying that to contradict these stories. I'm saying these things to make me sleep better is what I'm doing. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to get on anybody's toes. I do it because I don't want to know. Well, I got you something here that you're going to want to know, though, bro. Now, you need to get out your pen.
Okay. I'm ready.
Case number 75344 of the Mutual UFO Network Witness Reporting Database. This comes from our brothers at OpenMinds.tv. A Washington witness at Battleground reported watching what appeared to be a military helicopter escorting a cigar-shaped UFO very close to ground level. Yeah. Now, this occurred March 21st of this year at 11:20 p.m. All right. Now, the witness states that I was in the backyard and heard this incoming Chinook helicopter flying near, close to the ground, very loud, as it passed into view just ahead of what was this dark moving craft. Observing both was very short, but I could make out a cigar shape as best as I can describe. It could have been diamond shaped or could have been disc on edge.
Right.
But it was very much something that was making no sound at all. Now, seeing the helicopter so close to it, I could see it was being escorted. Now, the witness believes there's been UFO activity. The witness believes there has been UFO activity in the area over a long period of time. I have prior reports from the area and also have not mentioned other strange sightings here. They are very frequent, and Battleground, Washington is an area UFO watchers should be looking more into these days. Now, the case was investigated by the Washington Assistant State Director, Alita DeBee, and closed as an unknown report. Now, this is what she wrote. Two craft were about the same size, traveling at the same speed and same height, just 200 to 300 feet off the ground. She also wrote that it seemed to him that they might have been traveling close to the ground to stay beneath radar. They were traveling to the northwest, the dark object, oblong and unlit. Goes into a few more case details about the helicopter being man-made, but was without visible insignia, possibly a dark blue-green color. Looked to be a Chinook, and it had two props. Very large, very loud. Object was flying in front of the helicopter and appeared totally black, oblong, like a cigar or elongated diamond shape. Now, here's what's wild. They get into a few more of these things. They talk about this. They did little database searches, and they checked immediately and 2 weeks afterwards to see if there were any other sightings. They checked the weather. They called Joint Base Lewis McChord to find out which of or what explanations that they could find maybe for this event. None of them that they could really find. Now, this is what they said. That there may be some exercises the military was conducting that included one helicopter flying with another on a, for a night vision equipment without lights while the other would have lights. So you'd have one running totally dark and one behind it with lights, I guess basically for a safety reason. DeBee says that I called the tower the other day and received a phone number for the FAA standards units in Oregon. The person there at the FAA said that this did not sound anything like he'd ever heard of before, but offered some good information. You go into this, there was another one. There was another MUFON case that was the same night that almost had the exact same description. Says the witness was correlating case, was able to see the object for a long time. Says considering that this object was in front of the helicopter and not slung underneath it, was not lit and made no sound but moved as fast as a helicopter, you have to conclude that this was a complete unknown, that it may have been a military vehicle, but no one known or nothing known to the investigator at the time could basically describe what this is, point out what this is.
Right.
So that goes back into the whole idea of a breakaway civilization. If somebody doing this, at least it does to me, if somebody getting into this thing, that they're building something that we don't know anything about. So then it goes back into the flying triangles and all this stuff. Maybe those, like we've said before, it's all military. Maybe it wasn't at first. Maybe 40s and 50s, it wasn't. But maybe now the majority of what we see, if not 99% of what we see, is military or, you know, alternate governments and government groups, let's say, building these things.
I think you're 100% right. I mean, we know about these, like the Majestic 12. You find out years later, these secret groups that was established by the presidency. You know, could there be a clandestine scientific community group like NASA or something like that? But nobody knows about it. It's unknown unless you're a part of it. And they are secretly creating new devices all the time. I mean, that's not beyond belief to me.
It's not really, no.
I mean, why would they tell anybody? They don't want anybody to know
exactly
what they have, and not just them. I think that other countries could be doing the same thing.
It's easier for them not to say a word about it, because that way you don't question where the money comes from. You don't question who is involved. I get this person over here to build a door. This person over here builds an ignition system. This person over here builds a seat. Nobody really knows what they're going to. You're just building under these specs, and that's all you see. And that's it. When you're done building, you give back the plans, and that's it. And then there's one place it all gets assembled.
I love the stories of these UFO sightings.
Yeah.
But still, there's a large portion of me that believes that just because it's a UFO does not mean it's an extraterrestrial piloting.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
I think it could be human beings. Anyways, on today's show, last week sometime, I made this Facebook post. And it was just something I spotted real simply on Phantoms and Monsters. And it was a photograph of this great Norwegian mountain troll. And there's a photograph that Lon had put up. This photograph was supposedly taken December 1942 by the crew of an RAF recon flight 300 miles north of Berg in Norway. And, you know, I posted this up there not really thinking much, and boy, did it take off like wildfire.
Messages and emails and people on Facebook loving it, and yeah.
And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. This inspired us to dig a little further on Norwegian mountain trolls, and Cam's got some very interesting stories. So when we come back from the break, we're going to get into some more of these mountain trolls. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Back with Expanded Perspectives. Cam, like we were talking about before the break, this photograph of this supposed mountain troll, it really sparked a lot of people's interest. And it got me thinking more about it. I was like, you know, I've looked at it. Of course, I didn't give it much of a thought when I post. A lot of times I post things, I don't really delve into them. I'm just like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Post it. But I started staring at this photograph, and I'm like, okay, this kind of reminds me of a movie I saw one time. That was very good, though. I would recommend it to anybody. Have you seen that? You know what I'm talking about?
It's Troll Hunter. It's on Netflix, folks. If you have Netflix, I think the movie was made in 2010, I believe it was made, or 2011, something like that. But it's called Troll Hunter. It's badass.
Yeah, I mean, you got to read all the subtitles, but
yeah,
it's an awesome movie.
It's great. I heard they're making an American version.
Oh, yeah?
That they've been working on, because what I had found, of course, doing a bunch of this, they said that they were going to make it a part two, then they decided to put part two on hold and make an American version of it. Now, I don't know how you could make an American version of it, and it seem anywhere as good or better than this Troll Hunter, because it needs to be Norwegian. It needs to be in the land of where this comes from. You just, it just doesn't,
I'm with
hold
you.
Water
and even
to
having to read
this.
The subtitles, it doesn't take it away from me.
It adds
for me,
more.
I like it.
I like it.
I do too. It makes it seem more real for some reason.
Now, Kyle was talking, like I said, and he discussed about the great Norwegian mountain troll photo that he posted. And we discussed RAF recon flight back in 42 in December. If you look at the picture, look, you could swing it both ways. Does it look real? It might. Does it look fake? Yeah, it might. I tell you this, I dug and dug and dug. You can't really find a lot more about that photo. All the information you can find is that, which almost makes it seem like it's not real. It almost makes it seem like it was made strictly to be a one-piece little thing, kind of like a little Slender Man photo, and there's no more information about it, and that's it. Or it could definitely be done that way, so there's no more digging to be done, where you can easily wipe it away. So I got to looking into this stuff. Now, there's a lot of history that goes into it. And even the Troll Hunter movie tells a lot of stuff that's going on with actual researchers. There are Norwegian and Swedish and stuff researchers, like they research Bigfoot over here, or Loch Ness monster researchers. They have troll researchers. Now, of course,
which that's crazy in itself.
It is, which is funny because we've not been raised that way. We're over there, they may think it's insane for us to believe, you know, in a chupacabra or to look at Bigfoot. But when you get into these troll stories, something about these troll stories draw me in. The idea of these creatures being out there and being, you know, old as time and all this. The stories that I could find, they believe that these trolls appear in these Norse mythology tales that descend from the Jotun, which is a race they say was very similar to the Titans of ancient Greece. The story says that they're sworn enemies of the gods and that they separated from humans in these remote mountains and forests and up in the hills, which you would think. Now, there's also a name where when I say Jotun or Jotun, it's J-O-T-U-N, but you also find a Jotnar, a J-O-T-N-R, and they're the same thing. They're these very giant creatures, and you could call them humanoid and whatnot, but they believed to be Ymir was the first of these trolls, and his offspring populated this land that I can't even come close to pronouncing, but Niflheim, I believe. It's supposed to be a mythical land there. And anyway, it's believed to be Norway's glacier area is what Niflheim's believed, because it's described to be icy and like a land of mist. You know, they come from the land of the ice and snow.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. It's wild, though, because the stories start altering once Christianity starts, you know, getting into the region of the Norse. Because the Norse people and their culture was touched so much by Christianity that the trolls seem to have adapted their way, much like what it is in the movie. Heads up, folks, they'll ask a guy, make sure there's no Christians in the group. Well, it goes back in because Christians seem to be like what's for dinner as far as these trolls are involved. And they also claim that that's why there's a large stones and boulders near a lot of the churches and homes where these churches are built, and these homes that are built over in Norway is because of the trolls coming to these churches to destroy Christians. That's what's actually believed. They try to destroy the church, and then the sunrise or dawn will turn them into rock, which, you know, most everyone knows the sun. I believe it was even in the Hobbit series. You know, they have the trolls or whatnot are arguing over what they're going to eat with the hobbits, and then he cracks the stone and the sun, yeah. You know, and all that. So instead of basically fighting with the Norse gods in this mythology, the trolls like to get into a little trouble. So I always think of the mischief as you got to think of like gnomes or little people, but now you're thinking about something large, and it always seems to involve the Christians, that they don't know that. You know, they, okay, you know, we don't like the Christians. They want to get them out of here. And it was territorial areas of these trolls. They're very territorial, natural and territorial in nature. Now, it says the trolls do live far away from the human society. And it's always, you know, much like Bigfoot, much like all these things, it's funny, you know, they don't live right next door, so you can't see them, but they're up in the mountains. And you've got to imagine way up in the mountains and the hardest places to reach, that's where they want to be. And it's not because, you know, they want to hide from us. It's they want to be left alone. It's kind of the stories that you get. Now, they roam, of course, through nature, but they believe the troll, it's believed it hates human beings because of their greed, you know, because they have to have everything that they see. They have to get their hands on it. And it was also true that some of the writings showed that trolls would occasionally slip into little human settlements and steal some things, you know, and it was rare that you could find, but they would come in and steal. I don't know if they would like steal a princess, you know, and take her off into the caverns, do things like that. But Norway is pretty much known in this Norse mythology, of this area where it's come from, because it's beautiful. If you haven't pulled up, just pull up photos of Norway. It's beautiful over there. Yeah, it's cold, but also, too, it is beautiful. The whole area like that. And that seems to me like what draws you to the idea of the Vikings and these fjords and all this group of mythology. You're like, that could happen. There's like this old religion and this old way and old feeling. It's almost like the land that time forgot in parts of that cult in that country there. And you're like, so something, at least in my feeling, could actually live there. Well, you go to look and there's been some evidence that slowly builds that makes you believe that some of this Norse stuff and some of this narrative of trolls and things could really have taken place. Now, we know in these earlier writings that human beings fought with the Norse gods, and there was a big battle and people were, you know, killed and all this. And they also believed that during the time of peace that some of these Jotnar and some of the gods married. So, you know, I guess the first troll-like, which we're not thinking of how they look, but these other peoples, anyway, they married with the gods, interbred before they all come apart, which almost feels like the story of the Watchers. It almost goes along the same storyline. So we talk about with the Watchers interbreeding with the daughters of men. Mm. It almost feels that way. But when we get back into is, we do know that they can't take sunlight. They'll be turned to stone. That's what you find over the whole thing. And the gods would hold dominion over them, would put them in dark and misty places, you know. So it's almost like they put them up. They didn't want to destroy them, but they didn't want them to get loose either. So they had to put them in a foggy area. You stay there. You stay over in this rough area. Now, legend has it that the Jotnar, or trolls as we know them now, became extinct because the gods became more frequent and would actually attack them, would put them down there and attack them later and kill them with stuff. And there's even some stories say that they would throw lightning bolts down and hit them, you know, make the flash. And that's what would kill these trolls, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people that are researchers in this, I can't speak about Norway people, but, you know, but a lot of the people that are researching this still believe that some trolls occupy the deep forest there in Norway. They also believe this. They believe that not only are they there, but it's their secret. It's Norway's secret, and that they have gone to very extreme lengths to conceal this from the world.
That's cool.
Now, this is the story that we're going with. And they kind of touch on some of this, of course, in the movie. But you go back into, of course, the Germans. You know, the Germans took control of Norway back in World War II, right?
Right.
It hadn't gained. It's, I mean, you're talking about 1905, I believe, 1904, 05, something like that, 06. Right in that area was when Norway gained its independence from Sweden. So, I mean, it was just right after the 1900s. Then World War II starts. Well, then the Germans take it. Boom. So you look into this, there's some writings that talk about when the Nazis occupied that area and when it ended, and then there was a threat of Soviet communism in that area, NATO, all right, got together and they wanted to fight against communism. That's what they combined for, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Well, they came to Norway because it shares a border with the then, it wasn't Russia, of course, it was the USSR, the hammer and sickle. Well, you would think that they would welcome NATO, right? You would think, yeah, that, okay, we don't want any more of this happen with Germany. This is what we want. Y'all come on in. We're going to help keep this separated. We share some land, but we're cutting that loose. We don't want nothing to do with them. That didn't happen.
No?
No. During the Cold War, Norway didn't accept NATO. Not as a guardian, but it laid down these rules. Norway's like, okay, here's the rules we need you to follow. I want you to listen to these rules, all right?
Okay.
One of the rules that they wanted to go by was no Allied maneuvers or occupation in the country of Finnmark, no foreign troops or Norwegian soil during peacetime.
Denmark or Finnmark?
Finnmark is a little town there.
Okay.
Finnmark is an actual, not a town, but a section of Norway. Finnmark, and no Allied navy or air maneuvers east of 24 degrees. So you're like, that's putting a place out there. It's almost cutting an area out. Look, so you got to think about this, okay? We're going to take a whole look at this thing, and
like a game reserve for the trolls.
Yes. The no foreign troops. All right.
All right.
Well, you got to imagine if they were foreign, if we were part of this and we came to Norway. Well, then there's huge empty parts of land back then. All right. Much like now, of these forests and mountains and all this, where they can keep people out that normally live there. They just don't want to hike and go in there. But if you're a military force, you've got the equipment set up for these things. You're going to go.
Yeah.
What if the trolls are there? All jokes aside, we laugh because it's trolls because you think of little wild-haired dolls. But what if they're there? So no foreign troops, okay?
Right.
None. So there's no way that you can get in there. We don't want you going in there. Second and third, you got to think of this. Norway, all of Norway is east of the line latitude of 24, which takes in all of Finnmark, but the coastal regions and all that. But you've got to, they restrict all the movements of that other area. So they don't want anybody flying over. They don't want the Navy circling. They want anything being around that. Because if you fly over, what are you going to get? The RAF photograph of a giant Norwegian mountain troll.
Right.
Okay, now there's a map online that you can go and search up. Now this map allegedly was obtained from this government source there in Norway, who of course didn't want to be spoke, wanted to be totally anonymous when you start reading in any of this. But anyhow, This anonymous person of this government that sent this map to all these people and let these other researchers found it, I would say all this, but anyway, it's posted online, says that there's an area, and he draws a part in the map that says there's a giant species of troll in this area, and that's why Norwegian's Cold War foreign policy was so this area could remain untouched, and he claims being in the know of all that. But here's something that's pretty wild. The USSR performed several nuclear test in an area near Murmansk, Russia, close to the border of Norway during the Cold War. So the country of Norway, they go wild. You know, like, look, they call for a stop to all these tests. Of course, as any country would be, right?
Right, yeah, for sure.
Any country would be like, you're not going to be setting nuclear bombs off on my border. We're not, this isn't, be like Canada and the U.S. and the U.S. just testing bombs up there at Niagara Falls like it's a joke. Canada be like, what are you doing? You know, you can't do that just because it's up here and all this. So, they call for a stop. But there's a story of a government, I guess you could say, I wouldn't say prime minister, but a person in the government who said, and this is supposed to be that in the present, there was some times of course, anger and rebellion going on, right? That they didn't want all this done. But he claims that more than one time that he heard a little backroom whispering. Some guys involved in this that were some top players in the government between the USSR and Norway that claimed that the biggest risk for nuclear testing that close to Norway wasn't angering the people of Norway, but angering what this fella called the ancient landlords of Finnmark.
That's crazy.
Said you can't be doing that. And also, too, here's another thing
the
that was really
the trolls don't
wild.
Like nuclear testing.
No, they like the rumbling and all this. But here's something else they brought up. During that time, they had many avalanches were recorded and many landslides were recorded. Now, publicly, it was written in papers and talked about that it was due to the vibrations of these bombs. But several troll researchers and even some conspiracy theorists in that group say it wasn't because of that. It was because of the flashes from the nuclear bombs were turning the trolls to stone.
Hmm.
So how many trolls were there? Now, the USSR was notorious, and we remember this as kids in the Cold War, too, growing up in it, but they were notorious for its sealed borders. You remember that they wouldn't let anybody in. It was airtight.
Yes.
You couldn't get in, and nobody's getting out. And they would go to great lengths. I remember all the movies we used to watch, you know, that involved all these, what was the old movie, Ruskies and all this, you know, it's all American actors, but they're pretending because it's more Cold War propaganda. Well, here's a funny thing. There's no better, I guess you could say, an idea of how tight their border system was than the border they shared with Norway. During this time, there was a very vast and wide stretch of sand between these two countries up there, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, if you check with military experts and historians and all that today, and they're interviewed during about this time, they'll tell you this, that these were there to detect crossings by defectors trying to leave the Soviet Union. These big lumps of sand, these big areas of sand. But there's some serious Norwegian troll researchers believe it was completely different reasons. See, the sand borders, if you will, is what we're going to call them, were not just large, but they were level. A level, flat area of sand. Like a large area to do what? To gather footprints. Now, people would cross in and out there. The Russians, the USSR, could see that they were leaving tracks, leaving that area. All right? So they could track you down through all this sand.
Yes.
But it's argued by these researchers that they're like, but you could easily brush it off. People wanting to leave there could carry, you know, limbs and whatnot and brush your tracks away. The researchers today believe that they were there for tracking trolls possibly coming into Russia at the time.
Really?
Traveling into the USSR.
Now, I've never heard of this.
Yeah. Now, of course, at the end of the Cold War, there was some stuff, you know, and they said that the activity around the Finnmark area slowed dramatically. But there's a lot of troll researchers believe that the trolls were just hidden in caves up in the mountains and that now they're beginning to kind of move around some more. Okay? Now, how crazy is that is?
Yeah.
Because the Norwegian and Russian militaries are kind of starting to build stuff up around the Finnmark region again. Now, there's an article that was published in the Barents Observer there in Norway. And they were talking about it was strengthening its border forces in that region and modernizing much of the area along that border. And that Russia even displayed a presence on that side also. But it was evidenced by some satellite imagery that you can go online and find that shows that there's some tactical subs in those areas. And there's also MiG bunkers nearby. Now, these mobile nuclear missile platforms are on position. What many people believe are for what? Guarding against trolls entering Russia.
That's, I love this story, right?
It's madness. And like, look, folks, I don't know how much of this holds water. These are things that I've read from all across the interweb. Everything you can dig up and find. It's wild. Now, the BBC even reported on a move and that even featured there was a video inside of a base. Now, like we said, they stepped up Norway stepped up this whole military thing, and that they had this base built in the Arctic Circle. They said midway between these, what they called two large troll areas there. So the BBC takes and does a video of this. Well, there's this, researchers now believe, many of the troll researchers or just any of the researchers believe, that this was a smokescreen to take away from the real use of the base. They believe that the real use of the base is to launch missions and spec ops out of it to get into the surrounding caves and mountainous areas there to try to knock down and, if not totally remove, the troll population from that part of the world. Now, it's just me telling you this sounds insane.
Now, I love it.
There's other signs that they say, too, that makes you wonder, because now there's privatization on several of these former military installations there in Norway, and many of these are radar stations. So they're not open now. They're privatized, okay?
Right.
Much like the prison system's getting to become, which gets a little wild. Now, there's some troll researchers say that there's some official sources that have been released that say these dishes use this Havstair technology, which is the same technology that the U.S. uses in its missile defense. But there's many of the people that work in this privatized area, these radar stations, they want to keep asking this. They go, what you don't understand is they're not looking to the sky. They're sweeping across domestic lands. They've pointed them inside, and they're sweeping across our land. Like, why would you be doing that unless you're looking for something big on the ground moving?
Right.
Well, if you know there's no military on our soil, what are you looking for? You got all this stuff unless you're looking for giant Norwegian mountain trolls, right?
Right. That's exactly right.
As crazy as it is. Well, someone who looked deep into these subjects was the late Erik Natterud. Now, he passed away in 2010. He was a famous Norwegian cryptozoologist, a retired teacher, sea serpent investigator, and he even researched some of the hairy hominids that he liked. Now, he'd gone on many expeditions that he even operated a website. He dealt with sea serpents and troll research. Now, he would like to set people straight that trolls were not gnomes, is what he would always say, but bigger than human-sized humanoids is things that he would always like to go on and tell them. But he actually, besides his insights on all of this troll stuff, he did various sea serpent and lake monster stuff. He would research really into their sightings. But he would always say that he's not associated with monster hunters. But he did contribute to the British Columbia Scientific Cryptozoology Club and Jan Ove Sundberg's Global Underwater Search Team. So he was really into going out, you know, boots on the ground. I'm going to get out there and find out some stuff. But if you ask him, he said he was a self-proclaimed troll expert. And he would collect, get a load of this, eyewitness accounts. Now, he never talked about this conspiracy, what he believed in was the trolls, but, he thought that it was being hush-hushed for a reason. But here's one of the hush-hush stories I want to read you that comes from a lot of this, and there was a local newspaper there in Norway. Gudbrandsdølen is the name of this newspaper, and it says a bizarre car accident.
Yeah, I have a subscription to that.
Do you get that?
Yeah.
All right. I don't forget what their local football team is. But
the comic section of that paper is amazing.
I got you. Yeah, fair. It says a bizarre car accident has happened on one of our mountain roads between Venstre and Galal. A brand new and deserted BMW was found totally wrecked this morning. The police admits that the destruction of the vehicle seems uncalled for, as there was no sign of a collision with another car. Neither were there any skid marks in the gravel cover of the road indicating a panic stop for moose or sheep. The wire fence along the road was ripped open. But I have yet to see a perfectly maintained wire fence around here, the policeman told the reporter. The presumed car owner was found in the vicinity in a severe state of shock and disorder. He was taken to Lillehammer Hospital by the ambulance just in case alcohol, they believe, was the culprit. An eyewitness, however, claims that the hysterical and shaking man screamed again and again, "It bloody stomped my car on purpose," while the ambulance personnel worked hard trying to tie him to the stretcher and eventually succeeded in calming him down with appropriate drugs. You like that?
That stomped my car.
Now, there were some other incidents that goes, apparently in 1982, there was a crash landing of a little commuter plane. And the witnesses claimed that what they had seen was British fighter jets right after that circling that area after they say the aircraft that crashed had tail damage. Now, how would you get tail damage just flying over there? Now, they don't know if these jets were British or not, but there's some theory that the passengers on the plane had seen something that they shouldn't have, and they needed to be silenced before it got out, before anybody said anything else. Now, you got to think about this, too. Now, we always hear these things where they're trying to keep stuff under wraps. Like, they try to say that maybe it was these wolves here in the States were killing cattle, and people are trying to say, well, it was bear, because they want the wolf population to pick back up. So they, you know, they kind of play it off on the wrong one. Well, some researchers believe that that's what's gone on over there, that there was some increase in what they called polar bear attacks on human beings in these areas, and several polar bear were killed. But they believe that they were killed to cover up the activity of malicious trolls in those areas also.
Man.
So we don't know for sure. And look, it's me just reading and talking about this sounds like it's coming straight from the movie. You know, it doesn't even sound right, the stuff that you found. Because in the movie, they talked about these fences. Well, you read this stuff that there's these big electrical zones that they believe that's actually up there to keep these trolls in. But there's also some Swedish troll sightings in the area too.
Okay.
In the area in Sweden, get a load of this. Now, this... a lot of this stuff was come from a website, and it had to be translated. You had to get it all going.
Right.
And it starts out, it says, I've said several times that I have seen a strange being running around in the woods. The first feeling I get when I see these is fear. You just want to run as fast as you can in the opposite direction. Explaining what they look like is very hard. So I've made a god-awful silhouette in paint. I've never seen them in broad daylight, so therefore the picture is black. I see them in the winters after sunset. The last time I saw one was in the middle of November, then the bus driver almost hit it. The first time I saw one was when I was very small. It was lurking just by the edge of the forest at one of our farm summers houses, watching the pigs that we had then. I'd forgotten about it, but suddenly remembered it this winter. It says they're most often roughly 150 centimeters tall, but I've seen one the same size as a full-grown man. Now, see, it doesn't sound like they're talking about giants right here.
Right.
Says it looks like they've got a neck, or I'm sorry, haven't got a neck, and are regarded as knobby by me. Also, they run really fast, even though they have legs that are about half as long as ours. Now, my best friend, who used to be my neighbor, saw them first. And in fact, I was the one who'd saw them but forgotten about it. I got frightened, to say the least, and she didn't dare go out to bring the horses in on her own. The horses were staring in towards the forest, and when she looked that way, she saw two of these beings running back and forth on an old forest path. It was moonlit, so all she could see was big black silhouettes. This is me, I thought she was kidding until she refused to go to the stables alone, and you could tell a long way off that she was genuinely frightened. I've never seen these together with someone unless you count the bus driver who veered away from one, and the bus driver didn't say anything. And they were only two of us on the bus. The other girl didn't notice anything, just that he had slipped off the road. I was on to say that it doesn't leave any footprints. One winter, I met a big one on the road when I was going to see a friend. We walked on each side. At first, I thought it was an old man. Then I started to think and realized that no old person goes out late at night. Then I thought it was an illusion. Nope. The snow creaked with each step it took. And then I thought it had to be my friend who was kidding me and walked funnily to frighten me. So I called her name. Then it went down into the ditch by the side of the road, and that's when I saw the profile and understood what it was, and it laid down, and it never went up again, and the snow looked untouched. How wild is that? It laid down in a ditch and just kind of let the snow start covering up. So you're like, what are you seeing? I mean, you're not describing something huge. What are you talking about? Yeah. This one says, I don't know if it lied down or if it dug under the snow, but it probably became afraid when I started to shout at it, and it just hid. Another one says, remember in my childhood when I visited an old man in a house deep in the forest, he claimed to have seen trolls on the hillside in the forest several times. He told me that some of them were quite small, but larger than goblins. They were knobby in order to hide in the forest. One says, I've seen one. One fellow here, Krauf, says, I've seen one, or at least something similar. Says mine had considerably longer legs. I believe the legs were marginally longer than the body ball itself and looked very funny. Says this was a long time ago, 03 or 04, I think, a summer night with a full moon, so it was exceptionally bright that night. And I remember that it looked like a ball with two legs. Which, if you think back to the movie Troll Hunter, that almost sounds right, a ball with two legs.
Right.
Says I don't remember if I saw arms or though, but it says anyway, I was out driving my moped in the middle of the night, and then it stood by the side of the road. I didn't understand what it was at first, thought it was an elk's ass or something. But the legs were too thick. It was really nothing that looked like an elk, but it was the only thing that I could relate it to that wasn't too far-fetched. Anyhow, it just kept standing there. And I'd been waiting for maybe 10 seconds for it to move, but it didn't seem to hear me at all. So I turned on the gas a bit, and then it reacted. And what I saw then is when it got very strange, it ran on two legs roughly like a human straight into the woods. Now imagine that you take an elk or something similar and cut off the entire back section and make it black and more fluffy and long-haired fur, and then you let the back section run around. So when he starts talking about fur, I was like, oh, what's he telling me? That doesn't, I always think of trolls as like in the movie. You think of them leathery, skinned.
Sounds like he saw like a Sasquatch.
Or maybe it's wearing clothes. Maybe it's wearing like some sort of Norse clothes. He said, I drove past and tried to see it again, but it either run too far into the woods or it was hiding. And I didn't have time to look around, he said. So he got the heck out of there. And another one says, this is a funny bit, actually. I came home from a vacation trip in southeastern Sweden. He says, we were just staying up into the woods. So me and my boyfriend decided at night to go up on a hill just next to us and have a beer. After a while, I saw something that looked just like what you described between the trees, and it seemed to run on two legs at an enormous speed and was grayish brown. So there's all these people start chiming in. They start coming in. One guy named Eldron says, I've seen something similar too when I was young and walked a lot in the hills of northern Sweden with my grandmother. Yeah, get a look with your grandma. Now listen to this. It says that, I can't remember, but we went one evening to watch a sunset near a mountain. It said, when I looked out into the woods, we were driving along the old gravel road. I saw something that fits that description precisely, about 10 meters in the wood. I related what I saw to my grandmother, who looked serious when I told her. Then she turned her car homewards and started to tell me that she lived here when she was a child. And then she stopped and pointed into the forest where you could see an almost collapsed house from the 19th century. There I lived, she said, and we moved because of the one you saw. And then she said that she'd been playing with her sisters when she had seen it running quickly past her, and then she started to scream. Then her dad had to come and fetched her and took her away, and later at night her grandfather sat down with her and said that she had seen the trolls. Well, since then, grandmother has never talked about the place or anything. When I've asked about it, she just said, I don't dare. They mustn't come here. That frightened you a bit, but now I'm sure I'll never get any info or any more out of it because Grandma died half a year ago and she was the last person alive in that family. But I wonder why trolls made her so scared. So these are all coming, but if you listen to the stories from Norway and you listen to the stories from Sweden, it's almost like two different things. They're not quite identical in what what you would have to believe, or at least what I don't know a thing in the world about trolls. You get these different sightings.
Built like one.
I am. I'm definitely built like one for sure. But there's a bunch of ones here. There's one. Here's a nice one. Said, I've actually seen something similar a couple of years ago when I was out hunting in west central Sweden, and it was September morning, just before sunrise. And that morning, I saw some strange being walking across the road in front of my car. It wasn't quite as fat as you would picture, and it didn't look like it had any fur at all. I'm not sure since it's still dark outside, but it might have been dark green to black in color. There were just three of us in the car, me, my dad, and another one in the hunting party, and all of us saw it. As a hunter, I can say directly that it was not a wild boar, elk, or bear. It had a broad or no neck at all, and a head and foot creature with legs. That's what he calls it, a head and foot creature with legs. He said, I guess it was a meter to 1.2 meters tall. No one could explain what it was. I've never seen anything like it before, and if I see one again, I'll shoot one. Said, now I saw it in the light of the car about 30 or 40 meters ahead of me. That's what he said. Now I've talked to a guy who's what he called the team elder in the group, and he told me that he'd seen something similar like that walked into the woods a long time ago as he was a forester. And he said he told me a story about an experience from some time in the past when he had been a forester, that he had seen something that he did not know what it was. But it was sometime in late autumn or early morning as the light started to dawn, said it looked like a small human without a neck. And he came out into a mire and stood on one of the sides, looking at him for a few seconds, and then turned and disappeared back into the woods. So what are they seeing?
Right?
What are you seeing in all this stuff? Because it's, look, in my mind, I've got like, and I keep beating the drum, the troll hunter stuff in my mind of these large, leathery, gray-skinned creatures is what I keep thinking about. But this sounds like maybe, this doesn't sound anything like Bigfoot. These are smaller. These are more like gnome-like, yeah, or just small orgs, or, I mean, whatever you could possibly think of what it might be. I will tell you this. I've read some stuff online that people said that they were 1/8 troll, that trolls would actually, the reason you don't see as many human-sized ones is they were bred out. There were things we're talking about where they would come into these, you know, coming in for food or for safety or whatnot. People would take them in and slowly, and then somebody may breed with a female troll, or a male troll may get him an old gal. And next thing you know, you got a half troll kid. And then it just goes down to where the trolls were, the humanoid sized trolls were bred out. And people claim that there's still troll in some people's bloodlines in Norway.
That's crazy.
Now, there is a troll sighting that took place. This is what it says in, I believe, in Tennessee. Now, yeah. Says, this happened to me in October of 2008, right before Halloween. My daughter and I were driving to my mother's house about 5 miles away from my subdivision for our usual Sunday dinner. Now, we live in Campbell County, East Tennessee. So my parents live pretty far out in an isolated rural area. The road out there is a 2-lane blacktop, which is very windy and curvy. I was late for dinner, so I was speeding a bit, but I knew the road very well, and having lived there for so long, I came zooming around a curve in the road and immediately had to swerve my car to avoid hitting it, sitting on the side of the road. Now, I slowed down and got a good look at the backside of it. It was sitting with its back to the road, its legs stretched out in someone's driveway, its butt actually on the road. A bad place to be lounging in a blind curve like that. Now, I looked at it. My daughter in the front passenger seat looked at it. It was on her side of the car, so she could see it better, and it obviously terrified her. Now, for what I saw, at first I assumed it was a Halloween decoration some moron had put in the road. It looked like a stuffed dummy or scarecrow type thing. It was wearing all black, a black hat and a shabby-looking black coat. I even saw some long black hair, oddly shiny. I remember that clearly, really straight down the center of its back. Its posture was odd. It was kind of slumped over, and the back of its coat looked lumpy, like stuffed with leaves, which is one of the reasons I assumed it was a dummy. I was still slowly passing it after having come to an almost complete stop to look at it, beginning to be indignant that someone thought it was a joke to put it in the road, possibly causing an accident. But as I passed it, still staring at it, it turned and looked at me over its shoulder. All I remember seeing for a split second before I hit the gas and got the heck away was glittering black eyes and a black, wrinkled, sunken-in face reminded me of a rotten apple for some reason. My daughter turned to me, horrified, matching my own expression. I'm sure, and I drove away as fast as I could drive. Now, I told my mother, and she laughed at me. Even with my daughter backing up my story, she didn't believe me. I insisted on calling it a troll for some reason. That's what my mind jumped to. I still think about it every time I go by there. Unfortunately, I would like to forget I ever saw it, but at least I've never seen it again. Now, I think that's funny. And the reason I bring that one up here is that's three complete different things of what you would think a troll would be.
Right.
So I think we're getting these names twisted. At least for me, we're getting them twisted.
Nobody knows what to call it, so they're just calling it a troll.
Well, I believe in Norway. I believe the Norse. I believe they know. I believe it is a troll. I believe what they deal with, what they've got going on, is truly a troll. My thing is this. We can scoff it off. People are going to laugh. People are going to email us. People are going to message us and all this stuff, that it's ridiculous and this whole thing is made up and all that. But is it? Is it any more ridiculous to think that there may be a country harboring trolls and they're trying to keep their people safe and all this from it? Is it any more ridiculous than believing that there's a monster in Lake Champlain? Is it any more ridiculous than believing that there's a giant, hairy hominid that could be the ancestor of Gigantopithecus living in the Pacific Northwest or living in Texas or living wherever? Although the only thing, the only proof, real proof we ever have of it is nothing. People are going to get mad to say that, but they really, we don't have anything. We got pictures and firsthand accounts and foot castings and all that, but every bit of that could be faked.
Yeah.
I mean, 100% right. But we don't have anything of it. So to start casting doubt, for Bigfoot researchers to start saying people that believe in trolls are idiots, or for ufology and all this stuff, all these stories that we do and all the crazy stuff that we talk about, aside from ancient history, there's no proof in any of it.
That's right.
It's all your belief system. So you can't cast doubt on one person's belief compared to another. You can't say, I love Bigfoot, but I hate Chupacabra. You're like, well, they walk hand in hand. They're all in the same group. when you start talking about this stuff. So is it any more outlandish to believe that, that takes place in Norway? For some reason, I remember you talking about this, you know, you're like, okay, I'm sold. We were talking about, I believe, on the Elite show.
You were talking about something in Romania.
Yeah. Why is it, the thing about Norway, because I don't know why, but it just feels right. Even in Sweden, you know, but because the Swedish, you know, they talk about the elves and the gnomes and the little people and all that stuff. I don't know why I'm so fascinated by these more than anything else. I don't know if it's because I didn't deal with it growing up, that we were beat over the head with Bigfoot, you know, that's kind of what you're like, eh, I want to do something new. But when I started looking at this troll stuff and found, and like I said, folks, I don't know if any of those accounts are true. I found a lot of that written on the internet. I know a lot of it corresponds with the movie. It could, I mean, a lot of this stuff comes out there. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know if that's really how it all goes down. I don't know. But if it is remotely close, it really makes an interesting story that you got to look at and be like, I'm sure there's other reasons, you know, like we've talked about. There's other reasons for it, like the idea of the thylacine, something's happened at this, but could it be covered up by logging industry? Could the logging industry be what's covering up the idea of families of Bigfoot? You know, they like the stories on Mount St. Helens that they talked about after the eruption, there were a bunch of dead Bigfoot found up there and all this. Is all this stuff real? Is the government actively, now I know they would, you know, we always say that because it's the easiest way to brush it off. All the government's hiding it. You realize how many groups the government would have to hire to keep hiding all this stuff?
Right.
Wouldn't it be easy to talk about it? But if, I mean, how hard would it be to do it if you threaten somebody with their job? If somebody really, I mean, if you really got to do your job and you've got a family and you've got, you know, a mortgage and you need the insurance and they're like, look, you don't say nothing. You say something, we're going to take you to court, we're going to sue you, we're going to take all your stuff, and you're going to lose your job. It's not real hard to keep somebody to go, man, I ain't going to say nothing, man. My job's pretty good, and I don't care if Bigfoot got burned up, or I don't care if there's trolls out there. I don't, you know what I mean? I don't really care. I'm just going to look the other way. You know, you got that Kenny Powers. If you want to start messing with somebody, start with him, because I ain't looking. You know, you got to look away. That's the whole thing. So
I don't know. I hope it's real, because I like to think about these giant mountain trolls still living somewhere in the mountains.
That photo.
By the fjords and stuff. I hope it's real.
I want that photo in a poster for in here.
Right? That's really cool.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. Never let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Yes.
Let's take a break, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Thank you so much for sticking around with the crazy troll stories.
Yeah.
Like Kyle said at the very end, don't ever let the facts get in the way of a good story.
That's right. Look, a lot of the stuff we talk about, of course, may not be necessarily 100% truthful, but we're going off eyewitness accounts and things, so you're never going to be able to prove that. But what I like is getting together, sitting here, a group of friends,
yes,
listening to these stories and picking each other's brains and thinking,
what if?
What if they did exist in 1942 and there's no more of them now? Who knows? I like to get together. I love these hear these stories, and I think everybody out there likes to hear these stories because they're so much fun.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be real. Peter Pan's not real. Marvel's not real.
Right?
It's entertaining, and that's what I love the most.
Game of Thrones is not real.
Not real.
I just started watching that, the newest season.
You're getting caught up now.
I've been putting it off for over a month just because we've been busy with the funeral and baseball and everything. Last night, me and my wife sat down. We binge watched like 4 episodes, and I was like, I love it. I know why I like this. I wish I could live in Westeros.
Right. Well, and that's the same thing with this. Look, I don't know, folks, but I love the stories. And you know what? Maybe there's a reason you don't find a lot of this stuff and a lot more information on it. Maybe it is being actively covered up. I don't know. But I will tell you this. If you want to have something else to listen to after this, and we haven't discussed it because we've been busy and we've been crammed up and all this, episode 32. Go check out episode 32 of Into the Fray. Our friends over there, we got Shannon, we got Sam, we got Ryan. Our friends over there, they interviewed us a couple of weeks ago. released that episode. It's almost 3 hours long, I believe. We had a wonderful time talking with them. If you want to have something else to listen to get you through the week, make sure you check out Into the Fray. They're good friends of ours. They do a fun show. They talk about a bunch of wild stuff, too, you'd enjoy. So that's something else might help you get through the week.
Yeah, it's an awesome show. And they just recently did a new episode about black-eyed kids. So we were talking about David Weatherly at the beginning of the program. Mm-hmm. Two Crows Paranormal. If you want to go check out more, go over there and pay them a visit. If you want more of Expanded Perspectives, don't forget, you're only listening to half of the shows if you're only listening to the free side. We also do a paid-for show called Expanded Perspectives Elite. It's $5 a month. You can sign up by going to the website, expandedperspectives.com. And if you subscribe over there, you'll get an additional show every Thursday and access to the entire back catalog. There's over 100 episodes over there. You can have access to them all for $5. If you want to email the show with a story of your own, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com, or you can call us 817-945-3828. And please take the time, if you like Expanded Perspectives, to go over to iTunes and write us a review. And thank you to everybody that's already been over there writing those reviews. I know we haven't done any shout-outs in a long time.
Tell them why we haven't. We didn't do it this show.
Okay. I lost the document that showed the last one that we read. And so it's going to be a ballpark guess the next time we do it. And not just that, iTunes, for some whatever reason, you have to go country by country to find each one and why they can't be lumped together. So I just haven't had time to put the list together, but we will be doing that soon. And we really appreciate everybody that's written us a review, and we appreciate everybody that's come here today and listened and shared these stories, listened to me and Cam share these stories on Expanded Perspectives. Everybody, have a good week. Please, for God's sake, stay out of trouble, and we'll catch you elite members on Thursday. For everybody else, we'll speak to you on Monday. I'm Kyle Filson. He's Cam Hale.
Peace, y'all.